Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Be'o Daf Hei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 4 lines from the top of Daf Hei. We have to point out at the outset that we are in effect continuing our discussion from the previous shiur, so that if anyone finds that something is unclear because they are tuning in for the first time now, beware that we are really continuing our previous discussion. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading. Eich takonas Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai lekabel edus kol hayom achrei churban habayis. What effect does Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's ruling to accept testimony of witnesses that are testifying about their sighting of the new lunar phase, representing the beginning of a new Jewish or lunar month? They come to court and testify that they saw the new phase of the moon, indicating that now is the first day, and their testimony is given in the court, in the Sanhedrin, and they thereby declare it a new month. We discussed in our last shiur that in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, when korbanos were being offered and songs were being recited along with the offering of the sacrifices, as a result of a mess up regarding the song, they had recited a weekday song thinking that witnesses were not going to come yet that day, and thereby the day continuing as a weekday prior to the testimony of the witnesses, and then they showed up late in the day. So there had been a ruling, and we discussed this in our last year, because of that mess up there was a decision: we're not going to accept witnesses from the point of the afternoon daily sacrifices being offered. So there was a sort of early cutoff point from which point onwards we would not accept the witnesses, even though technically speaking, witnesses could have been accepted till the very end of the day. However, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Korban consideration no longer played a role, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ruled, we can revert to what once was the practice, and that is to accept the witnesses who testify about their sighting of the new lunar cycle and accept them till the very end of the day. So the sugi here deals with how does this takona of accepting the testimony of the witnesses concerning the new lunar cycle till the end of the day and not having an early cutoff point, how does that echse hishpia al beitza shenolda biyom rishon laochlo biyom sheni? An egg that's laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, can you eat it on the second day of Rosh Hashanah? Now, what used to be, and there we're just reviewing what we learned in our last shiur, that 2 days of Rosh Hashanah may have been observed even in the Beis Din, even in Yerushalayim, which was never the case with regard to the 2 days of other holidays of Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos. There in Israel, only 1 day was observed. But in the case of Rosh Hashanah, 2 days could very well have been observed, as would be the case when witnesses showed up late in the day after the offering of the afternoon daily sacrifice. They were practicing, or they were observing that day as a holy day from the night before, because maybe the witnesses would show up early in the day and it would be declared as the first day of Tishrei, hence the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. So, in anticipation of that, they were observing that day in a state of holiness. no malacha, etc. In the event that witnesses would have come later in the day, then, and it was after the offering of the Tomid Shel Bein Rabbayim, then even there in Yerushalayim, they would have observed the next day as well as a holy day, declaring that next day as really the first of the month. In that event, an egg laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah was going to be usher on the second day as well, because it was viewed as one continuum of sanctity. The question now is, what about after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made a takona that witnesses could be accepted to the very end of the day? What is the story with regard to an egg laid on what was thought to possibly be day one, and the witnesses don't show up, so they observe the next day as the holiday, as Rosh Hashanah? The first day, witnesses were anticipated the whole day, so they were keeping it as a holy day, because in the event that witnesses would show up, so then retroactively that is the first of the month. In the event that the witnesses don't show up, so then the next day will be declared a holiday. The first day in that case then is clearly a non-holiday. It's a Yom Chol. Witnesses didn't show up at all. So the next day would be the holiday. What is the din regarding an egg laid on the first day? Can it be used on the second day? So, we have a structural note, but as you look ahead in the Gemara, you will notice there's quite a bit of marking on this page. First, you notice a bow tie shape, and on the side, under the Mivneh heading, five deos, you're going to see five names, Mitakonas Rabban Yochman Zakvi Eilech, from the institution of Rabbi Yochman Zakvi, to accept witnesses till the very end of the day, Ma Dino of Beitza. Ma Dino Beitza Asura Omuteres. What is the din of the egg? Is it going to be Asur Muter? Now you notice the house shape in two different directions. So if you skim ahead in the Gemara text, you can see where the house is the point is facing upwards. That shows Muteres. The inverted house is around the word Asura. And if you skim ahead till Omid Beis, you'll see the bow ties continue 3, 4, and 5. And right along with them, you can see the house shapes also in varying directions. So that the issue is quite controversial. We now turn to the Gemara, Omar Rabo, fourth line from the top, Mitakonas Rabban Yochanan Zakkai V'Eilech, from his Takona, Beitza Muteres, that means the egg will be Muter on that second day. Namely, that we're describing a case where witnesses didn't show up at all that first day, so the next day would have to be observed as Rosh Hashanah. What were they doing the first day? They were keeping the first day as if it were holy in anticipation of the witnesses coming, but they didn't. So the next day will be kept as the holiday. What about the egg laid on the first day? So Rabba says the egg that's laid on the first day will be mutter the second day. And that is in contrast to what would have been during the Zman, during the era of the Beis HaMikdash, where we said the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, if they would come to be, it would be an egg laid on the first day would be usher on the second day. So now, we continue in the Gemara, Disnan. Here, the Gemara gives you the background. Mishacharav Beis HaMikdash, from the point of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai established you, Mikablin Eidus HaChodesh Kol Hayom, basically reverting back to the old custom, the old practice of accepting Eidus, the testimony HaChodesh, of the new month, of the new lunar phase. We would accept them all day, till the very end of the day. And when we say the day, we're talking about day 30, that if witnesses would show up, that would be converted into day 1 of the new month, and it would be called Rosh Hashanah. Omar Le Abaye. V'horavu Shmuel d'ami chavayu beitzo asura. How can you say that the egg is mutter when Rav and Shmuel say that the egg laid on the first day is usur on the second day? You notice that we have an arrow that indicates Dalid Omid Beis, and if you go back to Dalid Omid Beis, you can see an arrow. If you look carefully, it's the second to last line where Rav and Shmuel speak about the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and they say that if it's laid on the first day, it's also on the second day. So here you're telling me that it's mutter on the second day. Omar Le, Rabo responds, Amin Oloch Ano, Rabbi Yochan Ben Zakkai, I am telling you, I'm quoting to a Tana, Rabbi Yochan Ben Zakkai, who tells us that we are now going to revert to the old custom of accepting witnesses all day. And you're telling me back, you're responding to me, V'at amris li Rav u'Shmuel, and you're responding to me the din of Rav and Shmuel. Now, let's take a look at the Rashi, a few lines down from here. Mitakonis Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Sheichzer Adover liYoshno. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai restored the practice to its old way, Lekadel Edusan Kol Hayom, Ulekadesh Hayom, to accept witnesses to the very end of the day, till sundown of day 30, and establish, if the witnesses would come, establish that as day 1 of Tishrei, i.e. Rosh Hashanah. Nimso She'ein Beisdin Oysen Shnei Yomim, in such a case, so Beisdin is not keeping 2 days. V'horochoikim Oysen Shnei Yomim Eino Elo Misofek, and those people living far away, their observance of 2 days is only because they don't know. They are in doubt. She'ein yodim in his kaddish b'yom shloshim. They don't know if the new month was sanctified on day 30, calling it day 1, hence Rosh Hashanah. In b'shloshim ve'echad, or maybe not. Maybe the next day, on day 31, and day 30 remains day 30 of Elul of the previous month. Varehen kishar yomim tovim sholgolius. And those faraway places are no different than any 2 days of Yom Tov of the diaspora. And an egg laid on day 1 is mutter on day 2. Either way, one of the days is a weekday. So Rabbah is kind of upset with what Abaye is trying to say. Basically, Abaye is quoting Rav and Shmuel from the time that 2 days were observed even in Yerushalayim. And Rabbah is quoting a time period after that, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So why does Abaye... So Rabbah's upset that Abaye is even raising an objection. So the Gemara continues, Ula Rav Shmuel Kashi Masnisen. Well, according to Rav and Shmuel, that said an egg laid on the first day is also on the second day, so then Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai represents a problem, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is telling us that the practice went back to the old way of accepting witnesses all day. Lo Kashia. There is no difficulty here. Holon v'holahu. Rashi explains, Holon v'holahu, Livnei Eretz Yisrael, She'oisin yom echod, to the people in Eretz Yisrael where the witnesses testified, they came to testify in Jerusalem. And we would accept their testimony all day. So the egg laid on the first day, it will be muteris on the second day. Because in the case that there is a second day, it's simply because the witnesses didn't show up on the first day at all, and the first day is clearly a weekday. And an egg laid on a weekday is certainly okay to use the next day. Aval ledidon b'nei gola asura. Sherei adayin onu oisin shnei yomim. But for us in the diaspora, we still, even though the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed, we're still keeping 2 days. Ve'odenu kibatchila mipnei oisa takona rishoino. And we are in effect in the same state as we were when the original takona was made to cut off witness acceptance in mid-afternoon. Lo mipnei safek, in other words, our observance of 2 days isn't rooted in doubt. Since the observance of 2 days never stopped from the time that it began, ein lahokel v'lomar, you cannot be lenient and say ein minogenu zemit ne takona rishona ne hasafek ubeitzim uteres, that our observance of 2 days is not because of the original ruling to cut off witness acceptance in mid-afternoon, and therefore the egg should be mutter on the second day. Hold on, Amrim, don't say that. Since for us in the diaspora, the original takona never ceased, and we never observed 1 day, are still in the same state of having the second day usur, because the 2 days are viewed as one long continuum. So, as far as, let's to take stock of what we do have Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai being misakein that we can accept witnesses all day. As a result of that, in Yerushalayim, the observance of 2 days would only be a result of the witnesses not having shown up on the first day, and the first day was kept only out of suffix, out of a doubt. Maybe they'll show up, maybe not. And the second day, in such an event that they don't show up the first day, the second day is declared the holy day, and the day before was a weekday. Not so in the case of Chutzlars, and that's what Rav and Shmuel were talking about. When Rav and Shmuel said, Noldo Bazeh, Asura Bazeh, as far as Rabbah's approach is concerned, that applied to the people in Chutzlars, that since from the time of the Beis HaMikdash itself, 2 days were observed. And why were 2 days observed? Not because of doubt. 2 days were observed because the rabbis ruled that there's an early cutoff point for accepting the witnesses. And therefore, since the practice of a two-day Rosh Hashanah never ceased in Chutz Laretz, it has the original status of being one long continuum of sanctity. And therefore, an egg laid on the first day, it can't be used on the second day, because technically speaking, there isn't a second. It's just a continuous 48 hours of one 48-hour long day. And the egg laid on a holy day is, of course, mukta. It's osur. Rav Yosef Omar, af mitakonis Rav Yochanan Zakkai, v'helech beitzo asura. Rav Yosef says that even from Rav Yochanan Zakkai's time onwards, the egg laid on day one will be osur on day two. My time, oh. Why is the egg osur on day two? Answer, have dovor shebeminyon. The concept of one long 48-hour day of sanctity, Kedusha Achas. The Kedusha Achas that was assigned to the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah was something that was considered, was a Dovar Shebeminyan, something that was voted upon and established by a formal ruling. V'chol Dovar Shebeminyan Tzorech Minyan Achir Lahatiro. And that which is established by a vote, by formal ruling, cannot be undone unless it's formally undone. That's Tzorech Minyan Acher. Has to be another vote to undo that. Now we have a bracketed section. The brackets are very helpful in order to appreciate the continuation of the Gemara later. Within the brackets, there is a discussion around this issue. From where do we know the concept of Dover Shebeminyan, Tzorech Minyan Acher, to something that was established through a formal vote and a formal ruling, cannot be undone just because circumstances changed, just because the circumstances that were responsible for the original ruling no longer exist. You have to have a formal vote, a formal ruling to undo whatever had been established. So in the brackets, what we'll deal with, how do you know that? Try to find the Gemara after the brackets. Use your bracket length indicator. And that, of course, is the vertical dashed dotted line that you see running down the side of the Gemara text. As far as the egg is concerned, laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Rav Yosef says it's also on the second day, because originally the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah were established as one long Kedusha. Skip the bracketed section, taking you down almost halfway down Omid Beis. V'chitema, you might want to say Beitza Nami Imnu Alo Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai V'Sharyua. You might try to argue, and Rashi points out that this is the continuation of Rav Yosef. Hence, the marking here is fundamental. It shows you the Rashi shows you the necessity of having these markings. It shows you how this is to be read as a continuation of Rav Yosef. So, you might say that Beit Sonami Imnu Ala Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehoshua, that Rabbi Zakkai also voted on the egg, and made the egg mutter on the second day. So Rabbi Yosef tells you that's not so. Ki Imnu Aedus Abeit Alo Imnu. The vote that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, or the new ruling of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, concerned simply the issue of accepting witnesses. It didn't concern the egg. And therefore the egg remains usur, as it originally would have been during the Zman of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara will continue with a give and take on this particular matter. Abaye responds to that, but we did skip a large section of Gemara, so thanks to the markings, we can tell you that we're now going to get off the topic, and the topic of the egg laid on the first day, what's the din on the second day, and we're going to get involved with a subtopic, and on the side of the Gemara we have noted the tatnosei, and this is, as we indicate, it's within the Betocha Sograyim. It's the topic within the brackets. Kol Dover Shebeminyan, Tzorach Minyan Achir Latiro. Anything that had been voted upon and ruled to be, we'll say, to be forbidden or to be whatever, in order to undo that ruling, you have to have another formal ruling. And as we said before, it's not enough that the circumstances that resulted in the first ruling have simply disappeared, thereby causing the ruling to disappear. Not so. So we're going to discuss, how do you know that? Omar Rav Yosef, Mino Amino Lo. We have triangles, and on the side you can see the use of the triangles and a double underline system. Three makoros, three sources, lehanal, for that which we said above. Uba Omid Beis, choizrim al makoros elu, on Omid Beis, and where we'll go over these, kedei lahasbiram, to explain them. Vegam sham ofim, the triangle and the double underline, oisam simunim. These same markings will appear on Omid Beis when the Gemara explains. So first, the Gemara, Rav Yosef tells us, how do I know this concept? So he cites three sources. Later, the Gemara asks, what do I need three sources to tell me the same thing? So let's go through the sources at least. Dichtiv, Lech emor lohem, shuvu lochem lo'olechem. This pasuk deals with the time of the receiving of the Torah, at which time, prior to the receiving of the Torah, men were separated from their wives in order to receive the Torah in a state of purity. And after the giving of the Torah, so there was a formal instruction, go back to your tents, go back to your wives. V'oimer b'mshoich ha'yovel heimo yalu bahar. The second source deals with the Torah having forbidden drawing unto the mountain, Mount Sinai, immediately prior to the giving of the Torah, and the pasuk indicates that when the yovel is a type of a shofar, is blown, they can go back to the mountain. So that there was a formal ruling. In example one, there was a formal ruling to distance from one's wife, and then a formal ruling undoing that. That's the minyan acher lahatiro. Second example, there was a formal ruling for animals not to draw unto the mountain, and you can see this pasuk cited here is a formal ruling. They are now allowed to go to the mountain. V'tanya, and a Tanaic source, this deals with fruits that are grown in one's possession after the 3 years of Orlo, on the fourth year. So the fruits, this source deals with the fruits of a vineyard, the grapes are to be brought to Jerusalem and eaten over there. Let's say you lived far away. Do you have to bring the actual grapes? So we say there's an option. The Torah provides for an option for someone to transfer the sanctity from the fourth year fruits, and something that you find similar in the case of Meiser Sheni, the Meiser Sheni tithe. You can transfer the Kedusha onto cash and bring the cash to Jerusalem and buy food there. We're going to see now a source in which tells us that if the distance between where you are, where your farm is, or your vineyard is, and Jerusalem is within one day's journey, then you are not to redeem the fruits, but bring the actual fruits so as to make Jerusalem look like a place that is as a rich marketplace. Let's see now the discussion inside. Vitanyo, kerem rivai, vineyard fruits of the fourth year. Hoya oyle Yerushalayim alech yom echad l'chol tzad. They would be brought as they are, as fruits, and not redeemed, if you were within one day's journey to Jerusalem from all directions. You're within one day's journey from the east. If you're coming from the east, you're coming from the west, from the south, from the north. And here the source gives the boundaries, the extreme distance of the one day from Jerusalem. Bezuhi Tchuma, and the following are the boundaries. Eilat min Hadoroim, Vakruvas min Hatsofon, Lud min Hamarov, Yarden min Hamizrach. So Eilat is a place that is one day mark from Jerusalem, coming from the south, so that if you live anywhere north of Eilat, then you cannot redeem the fruits. You have to bring them as they are. Akravis is the northern boundary, and therefore if you live any point south of Akravis, you must bring the actual fruits. Lud min Amarov, Lud is the westernmost boundary, western extreme of one day journey. So if you live anywhere east of Lud, you have to bring the actual fruits. V'yardin min Amizroch, and Yardin, the Jordan River, one day's journey from the east. V'omar ulo v'itemo rabo bar chana. Omar of Yochanan. Matam, what is the reason for having to bring the actual fruits and not be allowed to redeem them? Kedei la'ater shuke Yerushalayim b'feros, so as to decorate the streets, the markets of Jerusalem with fruits. You're increasing the fruit supply in Jerusalem proper by having all of these people bring their fruits. V'tanya, kerem revai, hoyo lo Rabbi Lezer b'mizroch lud, b'tzad kfar tevi. Rabbi Lezer had a vineyard, and the vineyard was located east of Lud. Now Lud was the westernmost point and be within one day's journey. So if you live east of Lud, you're certainly within one day's journey. And Rabbi Eliezer had a vineyard there, and its location is reported fairly clearly. It's east of Lud, Betzad Kfar Tevi, next to this particular village. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Ubikesh lahafkir l'aniyim. And Rabbi Eliezer was unable, because of the burden in bringing all of the grapes himself to Yerushalayim. So in order to get around this, he had the idea to mafkir the vines, them becoming unowned, and he would mafkir them, declare it unowned l'aniyim, for the poor. And the poor would then come and harvest the grapes and bring the grapes to Yerushalayim and eat them there. For him to bring there the grapes themselves was too much of a tircha. So this was Rabbi Eliezer's plan. Amru lo Talmidov, the students of Rabbi Eliezer, said to him, Rabbi, kvar nimnu olecho chavirecho vehitiruhu. Well, you have your colleagues have already voted on this matter and were matir, meaning they allowed redemption and bringing the money to Yerushalayim. Rashi says, second line from the top, kvar nimu alecho chavrecho vitru livdois, to redeem it, livdoso, ulalos domov, to bring the cash value to Jerusalem. Vafagav, dilachar churban havi, even though it's after the destruction of the temple, kosavri, kedusha rishonu kitchel eshayt yishol selavo, the sanctity assigned to Jerusalem was not only in its time, but permanent, forever. And as a result of Jerusalem having its permanent sanctity, so the fruits still must be brought, even though it's after the time of the destruction, the fruits must be brought to Jerusalem, or their money value. The money would be used, of course, for buying food and eat it there. Continuing the Gemara, Man Chaverecha, the students of Rav Elazar said, your colleagues. Who is that a reference to? Answer, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. It was a reference to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who made this takona. Taima Dinimnu. The only reason that they don't need, that the only reason they can now be redeemed is because there was a formal vote, a formal ruling. But if there wasn't a formal ruling, so even though it's Jerusalem is in ruins and there's no more real need to decorate the markets because of the current sad state of affairs, nevertheless you would still have to bring the fruits, even though the reason for bringing the fruits is no longer applicable. But since the necessity of bringing only the fruits and not redeeming them had once been ruled upon, just because the circumstances for needing to bring specifically the fruits no longer exists, nevertheless you cannot change the original practice unless, as you see here, there's a formal vote to undo that which was done. This is the third example of Kol Davar Sheba Minyan Tzorach Minyan Acher LaHatiro. We have now an additional marking. See, this is, we call this an internal brackets. The note on the side where you see a star, we indicate sograyim tof sograyim. These are brackets within brackets. Diyun pnimi, an internal discussion. Lahavin shalosh hamakoros lenois dav shemininyan shuvu ba'omen aleph. We need to understand why three sources were brought to prove the same basic point. In other words, what would I have thought had I had only one source, or had I had only two sources? So we now that hopefully that structural point is clear, let's go through the angular brackets. My v'oimer. What do I need three sources for? In other words, we had the first source, from which we were expected to learn, called Dover Sheba Minyan, Tzorach Minyan Ach La'atiro. Isn't that enough of a source for that point? So let's see the Gemara. Hochi Ko'omar. Michti. Let's look into the matter. Ksiv, it said, Hoyu Nechonim L'Shloshes Yamim Al Tikshu Al Isha. Prior to the giving of the Torah, It says, ready yourself for 3 days. Do not draw unto your wives. Well, with that information, I would figure on my own that after 3 days, one can return to his wife. I can figure that on my own. Lech emor lohem shuvu lochem lo lechem lo mali. Why does the Torah have to say to the menfolk, you can now go back to your wives? In other words, after the giving of the Torah, there was an announcement made, you can now go back to your wives. It's obvious. 3 days have passed. You should automatically be able to go back to your wives. Well, Shema Mino, we see from here, called over Sheba Minyan, Tzorach Minyan Achilatiro. Anything that was established through a formal vote or a ruling, as was the case, that you cannot go for the next 3 days, you cannot be with your wives. So that ruling cannot be undone, even though 3 days have passed, unless there's a formal ruling undoing it. Now, v'chitema, you might say that the case of shuvu lochem lo lechem that we just cited isn't reflective of a general principle, but rather the mitzvahs oina hu da'asa. There, the command, go back to your wives, was a command issued by the Almighty, go back to conduct intimacy with your wives, because you have to fulfill the mitzvah of oina. Oina is to provide conjugal relations, man providing for his wife. So the instructions there wasn't reflective of a general principle, but it was specific to that particular case of now go back to be mekayim, to fulfill the mitzvah of oina. Therefore, if I'm seeking a source, I need to find an alternative source to tell me the general principle of kol davar shebeminyan tzorach minyan achila atiro. Therefore, toshma b'mishoch hayovel heimo yalu bahar. Upon the blowing of the shofar, then those who were forbidden to go to the mountain can now go up on the mountain. Michti, ksiv, looking into this, it says, gamatzon v'habokor al yir'u el mul hahor hahu. There's a certain emphasis that you should be placing on the word hahu, where it means, again, referring to Mount Sinai, at the giving of the Torah, says that the tzon and bokor, the flocks and the herds, shall not graze unto the mountain when the mountain has the divine presence upon it. That's the word hahu, indicates that. It literally, it's that mountain, meaning it's specified. It's specified as with regard to having the divine presence upon it. Now, on your own, you would understand that when the divine presence departs, so anything can go on the mountain. B'mshoch hayovel lomali. Why does the pasuk instruct that when you hear the shofar blast, then you can go back? Of course you can go back. You can go back as long as the divine presence ascends from the mountain. As long as the divine presence is there, so you cannot go up there. When it departs, you can go up there. Why the need for the pasuk of Mishoch HaYovel? Shma Mina. So this pasuk that we can't account for is here for to tell me Dover Sheba Minyan Tzorach Minyan Achil Atira, that something that was a formal ruling needs a formal second ruling to undo it. So, just to review this last point, there was a formal ruling that had said, Gamatzon v'abokor al yiru al mul horahu, formal prohibition of the animals of grazing on the mountain. That's a formal ruling. So you need a formal ruling to tell me that you can now go back. V'chitema. You might say, though, Hani mili b'doraisa. This whole concept of davar shebeminyan tzorach minyan achil atiro, that's when you're dealing on a Torah level. Now, what do we mean by that? So Rashi explains, it means something that was ordered by the Almighty Himself. Avo b'darabonon. But matters that are rabbinic, lo, the principle of Dover Shebeminyan, Tzorach Minachal Atir, doesn't apply. Therefore, Toshma Kerem Revai, we brought in the third case of the fruits of the fourth year, Vaha Kerem Revai Durabonon, the whole restriction of non-redemption, bringing the actual fruits, that is a rabbinic ruling. The Ko'amri lay, and the Talmidim Reb Lezer had to tell him, Kvar nimnu alecho chaverecho v'hitiruha, that your colleagues voted upon it, that you no longer have to bring the fruits. And we pointed out, it's only because they voted upon it that you no longer have to bring the actual fruits and you can redeem it, and hence he didn't need to declare it unknown so that others would bring the fruits there. This is so, even though on my own I could have figured out that once the Beis Hamikdash in Jerusalem is lying in ruins, so the original need to have the fruits there to decorate Jerusalem and its marketplaces no longer applies, that would not have been enough. The disappearance of the original need for bringing the fruits, even though if the original reason disappears, you'd still be expected to bring the fruits, if not for the fact that there was a formal ruling undoing that. So we continue in the Gemara. The Chitema, now without the markings, and which of course was brought to us courtesy of Rashi, you might have very easily thought that this Vechitema is somehow related to the Vechitemas we just had just before. But no, this is totally unrelated to the information just now in the brackets. But rather, it's going back to the explanation Rav Yosef gave for the egg to be prohibited on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. And Rav Yosef had explained that's because the concept of Rosh Hashanah being one long day of Kedusha, it's called Kedusha Richta, that was a formal ruling, and that ruling was not undone. So the Gemara continues, and Rav Yosef continues, V'chitema, you might try to argue, Beitza, Nami, Imnu, Alea, Rav Yochanan Zakkai, V'shar Yuho, that when Rav Yochanan Zakkai made his ruling concerning accepting witnesses now to the end of the day, which suggests that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah that would have been observed were not based on an original Takonas Chachamah, but rather evolved from a suffek, from a situation of mere doubt, not knowing when the witnesses are going to come. So you might have thought to say that the egg was also voted upon by Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, and claiming or resulting in it being mutar on the second day. So Rav Yosef tells you that's not so. Ki imnu aedus abeitzo lo imnu. When they voted regarding accepting witnesses till the end of the day. However, there was no voting declaring the egg laid on the first day to be mutter on the second day. Amar Le Abaye addresses Rav Yosef and says, Otu Beitza Beminyan Mi Havoi? Was Beitza ever the subject of a formal ruling? When the original formal ruling to cut off witness acceptance at mid-afternoon, which is the basis for the one long Kedusha idea, was the egg something that was the subject of an original voting? Beitza be'edus talimil. So the status of the egg is dependent on the appearance of the witnesses. Itzar edus, itzar beitza, ishtari edus, ishtari beitza. In the time that witness acceptance was prohibited, from mid-afternoon onwards, so the egg laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah will be also on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. However, when they are matir edus, what does that mean? We go back to accepting witnesses till the very end of the day. So, ishtari beitza, the egg laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah will be mutter on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, mi monafshach. Either the first day is a weekday, and the second day not, since the egg would be laid on the first day is laid on a weekday, or the if the first day is a holy day, then the second day the egg is mutter because it doesn't need preparation to begin with. So Abaye is pointing out then that since the original vote concerned witness acceptance till the end of the day, that has direct ramifications for the egg, and hence allowing Eidus to be accepted till the end of the day allows us to matir the egg laid on the first day, use it on the second day. Rav Ado, Rav Shalmon, Travayu Mibnei Kluchis, these two Rabbonim were from a place called Kluchis. Amri, they say, Af mitagonos Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, v'eilech beitz ha'asura. From the time of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai's ruling onwards, where he does rule you can accept witnesses till the very end of the day, the egg, however, laid on the first day will remain usur on the second day. My time, but why does the egg remain usur? So, the Gemara that now gives an explanation of why that is the case. Why is the egg laid on the first day going to be usur on the second day? Why is the egg laid on the first day usur on the second day, even though we are now accepting testimony till the end of the day? To review the point again, I know that for some of you we might be sounding overly repetitious, but it's a very abstract sugya. And that is, before Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai reinstated Kabbalas Eidus accepting testimony till the end of the day, we understood that because testimony would be accepted only till mid-afternoon, the concept of a two-day Rosh Hashanah was something that was not based on doubt, but based on a rabbinic ruling. And that being the case, rabbinic ruling then tells us that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are one long 48-hour singular day of singular sanctity. And an egg laid on a holy day, if it happens to be a 48-hour day, is usur the entire time. However, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai enters the picture and reinstates Kabbalas Eidus accepting of witnesses who noticed the new phase of the lunar cycle, the new phase of the moon, and will accept them till the end of the day, and we're talking about day 30, then under such circumstances, I'm observing day 30 from a standpoint of doubt. Maybe I'm observing it as a holy day because maybe the witnesses will come, and maybe they'll come up to the very end of the day. And if they do come to the very end of the day, then that day is holy. The next day is declared as not holy. The next day is a weekday then. And if the witnesses don't show up, so the result will be yes, 2 days. The first day will have been observed as a holy day simply because there was an element of doubt. Maybe the witnesses would come, maybe not. And when they don't show up and I observe the next day as a holy day, the first day retroactively is clearly a weekday. So the egg laid on that first day is laid on a weekday. Why should it be usur the next day? That is our question. The Gemara answers, Mehero yibone beis hamigdosh. What we're afraid of, and we're actually very hopeful of, but the very hopeful situation is that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt very quickly, hopefully in our time. Well, with the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, then the original takana will come back into play. In other words, receiving the testimony up till mid-afternoon, so that we don't get involved with the messing up of the shear over the sacrifice. We don't want, and when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, then we are concerned that they, you don't have a situation where they'll have recited a weekday shir shel korban, a weekday passage for the korban tomid shel bein arba'im, and it would turn out to have really been a holy day. So there will be a cutoff point in the mid afternoon. No more witness acceptance. And when that sets in, there will be 2 days observed, and the 2 days are observed once again, not out of a state of because of doubt, but because of this rabbinic ruling. And in such a case, it's a 48-hour continuum of kedusha, one kedusha, and the egg laid on the first day will be usher on the second day, so that. True, now that Svora doesn't apply, but when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, if people are going to be allowed to eat the egg on the second day because there is no Beis HaMikdash, they're going to continue practicing that way when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, and under those circumstances, the egg really is forbidden on that second day. Let's read this in the words. Mehera Yibona Beis HaMikdash. Hopefully, in quick time, the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, V'yomru, and people will say, Eshtakeh, last year, when there was no Beis HaMikdash, and we were accepting testimony until the very end of the day, when in the case the witnesses didn't show up the first day, we kept the second day as a holy, as the Rosh Hashanah, Milo Achanu Beitzo B'yom Tev Sheni, did we not eat the egg on the second day? Hashtanami, so to now that the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, Nechol, and let us eat it on the second day. Velo yadi, but they won't pay attention. The masses, the public won't pay attention to the fact that the eshtakeh last year, when there was no Beis HaMikdash, shtei kedushos hein. The 2 days really represented two different types of sanctity, or two, one sanctified, one not. That's shtei kedushos, one yes, one not. Vahashta, but with the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and the rules of witness acceptance only till mid-afternoon, and under those circumstances that we do keep a second day, Vahashta Kedusha Achazhi. Now it's one long Kedusha, and the egg laid on the first day is usher on the second day. So, very simply put, let's keep people used to having the egg usher on the second day. The Gemara continues, Ihochi. Well, if the idea of rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash is something that is on your mind, Edus Nami Lo Nikabel, witness acceptance as far as the witnesses concerning the testimony of the new phase, even after the Beis HaMikdash is in ruins, let's not accept them until the evening, my time all. And the reasoning being, Mihairo Yebona Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, the Yomru, and people will say, Eshtakeh mi lo kibalnu edus hachodesh kol hayom kulo. Last year, when there was no Beis HaMikdash, were we not accepting witnesses till the very end of the day? Hashtonami nekabel. So to now that the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, let us also accept witnesses till the very end of the day. And, well, with the rebuilt Beis HaMikdash, then you're going to then get into the problem of messing up the Levim on the shear. So if you're so concerned with the situation now that there's no Beis HaMikdash, but in anticipation of the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, why is it that you're accepting witnesses nowadays till the end of the day? The Gemara answers, Hochi Hashta. How can you compare the topics of witness acceptance and egg consumption? Hasam edus mesura labeisin. In the case of testimony, that's something that is under the supervision of the court. The court is not going to confuse the era of rebuilt Beis HaMikdash with the previous year of no Beis HaMikdash. Beitza lakol mesura. The egg, that's something in everyone's possession. yet the common man is not so aware of the changes in circumstances. And if you tell him that when there's no Beis HaMikdash, the egg will be mutter on the second day, even when there is a Beis HaMikdash, he'll think, well, last year I was eating the egg late on the first day, eating it on the second day. So too, now that there is a Beis HaMikdash, I'll continue eating the egg on the second day. And he won't realize that last year when there was no Beis HaMikdash, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah were based on Shtei Kedushas. But now that there is a Beis HaMikdash and there's the observance of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, that's based on Kedusha Achas. Rava Omar, a fifth Botai. Af mitakonas Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai v'eilech Beitzo Asura. He too follows the more strict approach that even after Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's takona of allowing us to accept edus till the end of the day, the beitza, on the other hand, the egg laid on day one, will still be usher on day two. Mi lo moder Yochanan Zakkai shimbo edim min hamincha lamalo shenoagim oisoi hayoim kodesh ulamocher kodesh. Does Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai concede that even though we accept witnesses till the very end of the day, if they come in the afternoon, if they come late in the day, we will be observing 2 days. We'll observe, we'll continue the first day that we were observing, and finish it off in a state of Kedusha, of holiness, and we will observe the next day also as a holy day. So that you'll ask them, then, what was the value in accepting witnesses till the end of the day if you're going to keep the second day also as holy? So that has value in terms of counting. We will count Rosh Hashanah as day one of Tishrei, and 10 days later, counting inclusively from the first day, you'll observe Yom Kippur. However, as far as observing 2 days under circumstances like that, when witnesses come late in the day, that we're not going to change. Rashi says at the bottom line, "Avol milasus yom tov sheni lo negro takona rishono mimukoima." The original takona of keeping 2 days under such circumstances, when witnesses come late in the day, then we continue to observe that practice. So being that we continue to observe that practice, the takona rishon of a key expression, original ruling, is in place, and the original ruling included the concept of one long kedusha, hence the egg laid on day one. It's a 48-hour continuum of kedusha then. The second day is really a continuation of the first day in kedusha terms and sanctity terms, and the egg remains usher. The Gemara continues, V'omar Rova, Hilchisa Kavose Derav, Behani Tlas, the halacha follows Rav's ruling, the halacha regarding the egg follows Rav's ruling in these three cases, the three triangled cases that we emphasized earlier, where the egg was laid on the first day, and we wanted to know what is its sanctity regarding the second day. We had Shabbos Yontov, that was the first triangle case, and this of course was back on Daf Dalid, and we had the case of Shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Golias, and we had Shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah. So in those three cases, we will follow Rav, and we pointed out in our previous shiur that Rav was not consistent in being machmir in all three cases. You can go back over the cases, and you will see that we read in our previous shiur the Rashi that you can see back on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, the fourth line from the top, where Rashi says, "Hilchos Kavos Derabahani Tlas Shomar Linyan Beitza Zu Mishabis Liyomtov. We will follow Rav there, where he was Machmir. And the case of Shnei Yom Tovim Shogolius there, Rav was Mekil. And in the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, so there, Rav was Machmir. All of these three cases, as we said, we highlighted with Roman numerals 1 through 3 on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph and Dalet Amud Beis. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.